past month has been what I would call highly eventful for me. And in some ways not yet fully assimilated. I had a lot of enormous demand. One was to conceptualize and sell a film in Hollywood, to have another film open and all that that brings up in somebody. In terms of the experience of being criticized and judged publicly. And then my son Joshua's wedding. And I can only talk about these from my own perspective, since everybody else has a perspective of their own, and multiples of people were affected by each of these events. There just are times in life where a lot happens, and we've all been through them, and you may be going through one now, or not. What's wanted in these moments is that you rise to the occasion, that you set aside all of your resistance, all of your emotionality, all of your fear, if you will, of demand, and just do. Just be available to doing. Many years ago, a friend of mine said to me, and this was meaningful, he said, when you're canoeing down a river and it's really smooth sailing, you can just kind of lie back and let the river carry you. But when it becomes full of rapids, it's not the time to sit back and let the river carry you, because you'll probably drown. You really have to be very active, very, very available to each shift in the current, because the swiftness of the movement will be destabilizing. And you have to be in charge of keeping the boat afloat. And in a certain sense, that was the experience of this period. I really didn't have time for much reflection. I didn't have a lot of time to shift gears from one thing to another. Everything was happening with such rapidity and with such magnitude that it took all of my sort of spiritual training to just keep going and keep going. And you keep wanting to kind of step out of the flow for a little bit, get on the shore and just take a nice nap and then get back in the boat. But, you know, sometimes that's really not allowed. And so you just have to go with the flow, as they say. And the lessons are enormous, and the lessons are not always immediate. They come at you slowly, they unfold, they reveal themselves to you, and there is a kind of singular, consistent message at the core, and that is, just keep moving. Just keep going. You just realize that you have to accept what's in front of you, and you have to deal with it immediately and move to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, because you have, in a sense, no choice. And when that happens, one of the great things about it, it shows you what you're capable of, what you can do when the demand is there. And as Rudy might say, it shows you how much work you can do at any given time, and probably what you should be doing all the time. And most of us can't handle that, and most of our lives are not that eventful. But it's really quite remarkable when they become so saturated and so full that you really experience this dynamic movement, dynamic transformation. And it takes a while for it to all settle down. It's like having the river so churned up that it's full of mud, and you can't see for all the particles in it, that it really has to take time for the particles to settle and for you to see again clearly through the whole space of your own existence who you are at this given moment. And so I'm still in settling mode, I have to say, although I'm here talking to you in the midst of the churned experience. I will tell you that there were some remarkable elements to all of this. One of them is how quickly you can process something if you have to. The movie opening, I've been through this, as you know, many times before. I've given talks about movies opening before. It's a very egocentric and very strange experience, because no matter what your contribution to a movie is, if you're the writer, chances are the critical eye will fall on you, which of course it did, and you have to take, you know, blame, or you have to take, if you want, the praise, if you're lucky enough to get that. That's not always my good fortune. This particular movie, Time Traveler's Wife, had some good reviews and had, unfortunately, some really scathing reviews, and those really occurred in the space of where most of my friends live, like New York and Los Angeles, in the papers. And it used to be that something like that would knock me over for months on end. I would really have to really pick myself off the floor and feel this unbelievable humiliation that would accompany all of this. And honestly, in this situation, I got hit exactly that way. I really was knocked to the floor, totally unexpecting reviews of this form, and was really in enormous pain for about 18 hours. And then either I helped process it, I can take credit for that if you want. Spiritually, I felt capable of dealing with this now in a way that I never had been before. And Rudy had promised many, many years ago, and I've talked about this, he said patterns that take you a year to process at one point will then take you 6 months, and then 6 weeks, and then 6 days, and then 6 hours, and then 6 minutes, and then 6 seconds, and then a sixth of a sentence, of a second. And I was sort of down to like 18 hours as opposed to 6 months. But that was a good thing for me. I was able to ride the wave. And part of what also helped process this particular discomfort was the level of demand in my life was so strong that I didn't have time to sit with it, to just sit there and wallow in my own stuff. So I had to move on to the next thing, which in this case was a very big wedding. And all of the demands of a wedding, which are very, very challenging in terms of the amount of work. And my work was minimal compared to Blanche's work. Blanche was really, in many ways, the architect, the chief architect of this, with Josh and Evan putting their work together. A lot of their friends came to be part of this event. And it was really extraordinary because they wanted a homegrown, handmade wedding. They wanted to do it themselves, as opposed to calling in people to do all the work for you. This was their wedding, and they were going to make it literally stone by stone, in which case they built a labyrinth that they were going to walk through as part of their celebration. And they built this labyrinth literally stone by stone, and as Josh said, only round stones. Round stones meaning that we have a million rough stones all over the property, but round stones are hard to come by. So it became several months of searching for these stones until, as Josh said during his wedding, he once discovered at the bottom of a hill a whole trove of round stones, and then realized, of course, stones that are round roll downhill. And he found all the stones he needed to make the labyrinth, and it was incredible the kind of structure that they built, and we had unbelievable amount of help. But the week before the wedding, which was an outdoor wedding, I saw on the news that the weather said there was a Hurricane Bill forming in the tropics and heading our way. Now, if you know from anybody who's a writer or who knows theater or film, if the actress coughs in the first act, they die in the third act. It's always the way it works. If you see a hurricane forming in the tropics and your wedding is 7 days away, you just know that that hurricane is heading toward you. And then what do you do about that? Because you're sitting outside with 160 people, and you have to somehow, in my mind anyway, provide for them. So we managed to buy ponchos and umbrellas, 160 umbrellas, and have ourselves somewhat prepared for this event. I was the only one crying doom that we're going to have rain, it's going to pour, we're going to be in trouble, we got to buy all this stuff. Everyone else is saying, why are you so negative? Why do you always see the dark side instead of the light side? And all I could see was Hurricane Bill racing toward us, and nobody else wanted to know that, which was fine. I believe everybody else's positivity was rather beautiful. I hated that I carried such a negative charge about me, but I kept thinking that what I was looking at was reality and everyone else was looking at the Pollyanna view of the wedding. And then this extraordinary thing happened. The day of the wedding, it poured. The rain started at 6 in the morning. Hurricane Bill was upon us. I was really shaken by the fact that we were going to have all of these people I loved soaking wet during this outdoor event, which was only going to happen outdoors because there was no alternative plan. We had a tent for the meal, but we didn't have any tent for the wedding. And I just saw all of my negative projection completely supported by the reality of rain. The weatherman was right. I was right. All of the positive, upbeat people like my dear wife Blanche and my son Josh and his wife-to-be Evan were all completely disproven by the fact that Hurricane Bill had arrived exactly as it said it would. And I just walked around saying, okay, I have to open to the truth of this. I have to open. I have to be present with whatever is happening. And so I did my best. I tried to stay deeply open. My spiritual life definitely helped with that. I just said, okay, we're going to sit in rain. We've got ponchos. We're going to do this. People are going to enjoy the mud, and it's going to be a wonderful event in spite of everything. And people arrived, and as they arrived, the rain stopped. It just turned into a little light drizzle, and then nothing. And then when it was time to walk up to the wedding site, it was really rather pleasant out. And everybody sits down. We had our caretaker, Chris, had built this incredible amphitheater of seats out of tree trunks and wood, and it was really beautiful. And all of our guests walked up there and sat down, and the whole ceremony took place with no rain. And then just as the vows were being said, the sun came pouring out in a way that nobody in Hollywood could write or anybody would believe. It was absolutely beyond expectation, and I felt totally humiliated because I, the naysayer who had predicted nothing but negativity and doom, had suddenly been proven wrong by all of the positivity that my wife and my kids had been bringing to the table. And I kept trying to think, well, we wouldn't have had raincoats and we wouldn't have had umbrellas if I hadn't been negative. On the other hand, what if I hadn't been negative? What if I had just said we don't need any of this? What would have happened? I honestly don't know. This, I'm telling you, I'm processing stuff right now. Part of me thinks you need the mix. You need to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I think that really tends to be the best approach. I don't think you need to be as negative as I experienced or as completely Pollyanna-ish as everybody else around me. I think there is this kind of blend. But in this case, the blend absolutely worked. And the sun came out and we had the most beautiful ceremony. And then we all went down to the tent for lunch, and there was a deluge like you've never seen. And we were all inside as cozy as can be. And the deluge came and flooded the land around us. But the inside of the tent was completely, not completely, but pretty much dry. There are a few relatives whose feet got drenched by about 2 inches of water coming into part of the tent. But aside from their misfortune, everyone else was dry. And then this extraordinary event, a double rainbow, appeared in the sky. This is highly auspicious. A double rainbow appearing in the sky is something that does not happen regularly. It felt like an absolute blessing on the wedding. And from a certain part, a certain stance outside this tent, you notice that one of the arms of the rainbow, of one of the lower rainbows, ended in our field, right behind the wedding tent. And I looked at this, and I really didn't know what to make of it. I was kind of awed by it. I was overwhelmed in some sense that there was this auspicious blessing being bestowed on this event. I felt it was speaking to me directly. It spoke to everybody else, clearly. I was not the only person benefiting from this auspicious aspect, but I really felt it was trying to say, Bruce, we're in dialogue with you. You are having a direct dialogue with existence. I couldn't understand everything it was saying, I have to say. I'm still working on it. But it is basically, it was telling me, this is as good as we can make it for you. We are giving you sunshine and rainbows and rain when you're in the tent. Hurricane Bill arrived as it was supposed to. It did its thing, and every one of you was protected from its ravages and absolutely benefited by its extra surprises of sunshine and rainbows. I really think life wants to speak to all of us that way, that we are all in direct dialogue with existence, that it has a collective power. It was not about Bruce, clearly. It was not about Bruce, because everybody at the wedding was experiencing their own truth, their own sense of dialogue with what was happening. But something was going on that was speaking to me, that was saying, you can listen to the weather report, but trust God. It's a really important idea. It's hard for me. I don't know why it's hard for me to do that. It is this mixture of wanting to trust the universe and listen to the weather at the same time. And I believe there is some kind of exchange between the two. And I really believe that if I hadn't listened to the weather report, people would have gotten or might have gotten wet. That we did have ponchos that did lay out over the wet benches, that people didn't have to wear them, but they did prevent the wetness from soaking through their clothes. There was some benefit to the concern, but there's very little benefit, I think, to the anxiety. And the anxiety is, in me anyway, a kind of hardwired element. It's been there since I was a kid. I've always expressed it, I've always had it, and I always have to work beyond it. Part of my spiritual training is take what is and open to it and let the opening create a buoyancy that allows things to take place as they must. And that is what I try to do. I hate feeling humbled by my own failings, by my anxiety, by my fear of things not working out, by the judgment of the press, by all of the things that were coming at me during this period of time. It was really very demanding. On the other hand, it was testing everything about my spiritual practice. And in the end, more than anything, it was affirming that whether I was anxious or not anxious, whether I was in flow or not in flow, the universe was doing what it intended. And what it intended, if I could see it, and I did see it, was to bless the marriage of my children in this house, in this space, on this day, and to somehow or another move Hurricane Bill away from its logical, rational path into something irrational, illogical, and absolutely beautiful. And it just happened. And in a certain sense, our dialogue with God, our dialogue with existence, is ultimately irrational, illogical, and beautiful. And it works out according to its own plan. It works out according to its own design. And that design, I don't know how much we impact it. I don't know how much our wish and our desire impacts it, but it seems like there is an exchange, that our wishes are heard, our prayers are answered, and things happen as they should. It's been a great experience and a great lesson, and I, as I say, I'm still working it through, because clearly it's not all resolved inside me, but it is something that has spoken to me very deeply, and it has brought about an enormous amount of deep gratitude. So that's the events of the last month. Any questions about this at all?
Uh-huh. I have a question. Every year I have to wrestle with the same questions again and again, and one of them is, how do you distinguish between living in the moment versus living for the moment? That somehow that distinction seems to blend off, and I have to defend myself, you know, to one end or the other.
Well, you're really dealing with prepositions for and in. The difference is this: when you live for the moment, you are in a sense preparing yourself to be in the moment. You are living to be present, and meaning be personally present in the moment, or else, let me put it this way, to experience you in the moment. But the idea of living for the moment implies, in my mind anyway, a kind of duality. There is you in the moment, or living for the moment. When you are truly in the moment, there's no you. There's only the moment. It's a really interesting thing to bring back the wedding for a moment. We had a lot of people there that I hadn't seen in years, and I had to be active with every one of them. And I only would speak with one for a few minutes, and somebody else would appear, and then another would appear, and another, and another. And there was a part of me that could have gotten frustrated by that. I know my son Josh said to me he was very frustrated by, he didn't have time to really have the kind of dialogue, the depth of dialogue he wanted with each person. He couldn't live for that moment because it was slipping away so quickly. And what I said to him, and what I started to do, and it was really wonderful, is I said, if I'm only going to get these brief moments, then they're going to be complete in themselves. And I was absolutely there and present and with the people I was in front of, or who were in front of me. And I felt a connection that was so absolute that if it was to break in a second, it wouldn't matter, because it was there. It was. Or in more specific terms, it is. And really is, even at this moment. Because the connection I have with everybody there, and in a way everybody here, is. It's not something that has a past tense. It just is. And that's the real depth of spiritual experience, the incredible isness of life. My mom's been gone many, many, many years, but she is a presence for me. And there are so many events that were in the past, but they are still forming my truth, my reality. They exist. So living in the moment, for me at the wedding, was having the moment with each person, no matter how disruptive it got. And it gets very disruptive, but for me it never felt disrupted. It always felt, this is the flow. This is what the universe is bringing. This person, that person, this person, that person. Over and over and over. And it was completely and absolutely delicious. It was exactly as it should be. If I was living for the moment, I would probably be struggling to hold on to the moment, because there would be a me aware of the moment. In this case, there was just me in the moment. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Love you all. Thank you for coming. There will be class next weekend, and then Blanche and I are off to Los Angeles. I'm going for about 5 weeks, Blanche for about 3 weeks, and class will start here again in October. Thank you all for coming.